Welcome to episode 424 of Salcedo Paranormal, and tonight I'm covering paranormal news. As always, you can find all episodes of the show, along with links to social media and other ways to contact me at the podcast page, and that is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. That's S-A-L-S-I-D-O paranormal.podbean.com. Always happy to hear from y'all, whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from others that you trust. Happy to either read those or have you join me on the show to talk about them. Thank you all for listening, whether you make it for the live streams or you listen on the podcast or YouTube feeds, or if you listen on the 12 Minds Radio Network, KUAP, Digital Broadcasting. There you can hear replays of two episodes of the show every night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, right before Trouble Minds Radio comes on. And I always want to thank Michael Strange, host of Trouble Minds Radio, along with Rohan, Liam Martin, of the Exile Minds podcast, for producing the shows, putting in the music, and that you hear at the beginning and the end of every show, and putting it up on the station. So, also, if you'd like to support the show, there are some different ways to do that. Excuse me. There's always sharing the show with others, and rating and reviewing it on your podcast platform of choice. Also, if you are into paranormal fiction or nonfiction books, you can find some titles from me that I've written over on Amazon. You can also support the show directly through either PayPal or Venmo or Patreon. And help is never expected, but always appreciated, especially now at this point. As I mentioned before, I will be... I've been invited to attend the Mid-Michigan Paracon this year, but there are expenses besides what the cost is to go there. And luckily that has been covered as far as the actual ticket, but could still use any help you all are able to give and willing to give, just because there are other expenses, obviously. And there will be a show, at least one show, maybe two. We'll see how much I get to... how much, basically, I can figure out how to make into shows out of what I see and hear there, and then what I'm able to record. So if you're interested in hearing about what a Paracon is like, and if you've never been to one, or if you're just interested in what they're like out here, yes, any support just would be appreciated, but never expected, but could use that help as well. So, and... let me see here. I think that covers everything. I'll get to the stories here. Now, normally with the news stories, I've included them in the Discord, in the show notes and sources channel. And I'll include the links also in the episode description. Normally when I do these shows, I use the leftover news stories first. The ones that I didn't get to use in a previous news show, the same way I do with the true paranormal stories in the web episodes. But there were a couple that I found today that hit pretty close to home, in a way. You could say literally, in a way. Not really hit, but just they took place close to home. And so let me get to those stories that I found just this afternoon. Let me see here. Gotta go to the right window here. Okay. So this first one is from the game 730am.com. Title reads, "Did someone capture a UFO in Battle Creek in broad daylight?" Now, this is Michigan. This one and the next story, they take place in Michigan. So, and this is where I live as well, as Michigan. So the article starts off saying Michigan has always been a hotbed for UFO sightings and the paranormal in general. So, and then it mentions that in the last few days, there's been an increase in strange things happening throughout Michigan. And again, that's going to this this article and the next one here. This says that one morning recently, this is from only a few days ago, there was a sound. People heard a sound of some kind of whirling and pulsing coming from the sky in the Kalamazoo area. For listeners that are new to the show, I stayed at a training center out that way for people with low or no vision to learn independent living skills, and that building had some activity that you can hear about in previous shows. And but it says that the sound could be heard. They mentioned different roads, basically, but or streets. And but it was also heard in other surrounding towns, Portage. Of course, the title of the article mentions Battle Creek, and says that that someone in Battle Creek in the area, they think they caught what appears to be a flying saucer over in, let's see, Penfield, and which is apparently nearby. And so these pictures are taken outside of apartments that are in the area. And one image in particular, they have both images in the article here, seems to show a disc-shaped object. So the article says that there are some people saying it's just a drone, while others say it was way too high in the air to be a drone. I don't know the details on how drones work and how high they can go physically, so I have no idea. Just the fact that these two articles even happened, or there was something reported in the sky that not everyone can easily explain right here in Michigan, and in these two areas that have sort of personal connections for me in a way, is just really interesting. So let's see here. Asks if anyone else in the area has been, has had other experiences similar to that. And apparently this has been seen by many people in the area, independent of each other, who saw something similar. So, and it was even seen hovering over water towers at around 5 in the afternoon. So, and again, you have that connection to water. There's a whole Southwest, I believe it is, Michigan, UFO sightings where, I think it was Lake Michigan, I forget now. I covered it in a previous episode of the news show, where I talked about how it was featured. This whole story of sightings in the 90s was covered on a recent version of the Unsolved Mysteries TV show. So, and in that series, one of the things that people reported seeing was this UFO hovering over the water and drawing water up into itself. So that is an odd thing. I mean, if you think about the amount of force, I always come back to with that story. If you think of the amount of effort, in terms of physical effort, it might take to be hovering over a body of water and still drawing water up into it. That's amazing to me. But anyway, so let's see here. That's basically where that article ends. It does mention other sightings in different parts of the state, such as Jackson. Let's see where else it mentions. Three Oaks. These only mean things if you live in or near Michigan, I would guess. Rockwood. I know a couple of these towns. Coldwater. But, so you have that sound, Lansing, which is the capital, I believe, of the state. Let's see, Chesterfield, that's not too far. Shelby Township, that's also not too far from, these are towns near my area, in my area. But yeah, so, neat article there, and again, I found that one first, and was really interested in it, just because of, again, my I spent some time, not a lot, I mean, in terms of compared to the rest of my life, but a good, I don't know, couple months, few months total out there. So, yeah, neat story there. Neat first story there. And so that's the first one I found. And that's about a fairly large area and large towns. Battle Creek is, as far as I know, is a pretty decent-sized town or city. Kalamazoo, obviously, is a good-sized city as well. So, but then I found this next one. And this one is from, I've seen a couple different sources, but this one is from michigansthumb.com. And the title reads, "Something Happened in the Skies Over Bad Axe on June 3rd. But what?" Question mark. Now, Bad, I said, the name of the town is Bad Axe. B-A-D space A-X-E. The amazing thing about the story in this, just this, when I read the title, I had to read it again to make sure I was seeing the name right. Because my family and my dad's side of my family have connections to Bad Axe. And some of the family still live out there. And so, and also if anyone ever is in that area in Michigan, I recommend you check out a place called Rachel's. So, and that's all I'll say on that for now anyway. But yeah, so the town is named Bad Axe. And I think it was my grandma that told me, yeah, it was my grandma that told me this many years ago, that the town got its name because of an actual axe that was bad, that it couldn't be used anymore, that was left behind in on a campsite, and then from then on was used as a landmark. And so, in other words, people would say, you know where that bad axe is at? And go over that way. They would use it as a landmark for directions and everything. So anyway, just had to mention that because that's really amazing. And again, this town is not, you know, it's not a huge town, physically, as far as I know. But this is, so let me get to the article here. I'm just still, they have two stories happen in places where I'm familiar with. And even have been. I mean, Kalamazoo, and then I've been in Bad Axe before as well. says that this article says that this. Some people have said that they saw two fighter jets, sort of in a cat and mouse game of chase with a disc shaped object. It says that representatives from military bases in the area said they had no knowledge of any such incident. And so basically the report from military around the area is that they didn't have any craft out that day at the time that this is said to have happened. So, but they apparently people did say they saw what looked like two military aircraft, most likely F-16s, engaged with a white metallic disc that moved with remarkable speed and maneuvering capabilities just after 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning recently. So it says, according to one witness, it was extremely fast. It was able to basically overtake and maneuver around the fighter jets with extreme ease. And it says it would overtake a jet and stop suddenly and then turn toward an oncoming jet and spin in their direction, apparently, without moving. So just really amazed at these two stories being just when I found these today. So, goes into sort of responses from various military and government officials about how there was no reported craft in the air, especially military, on that day at that time. And But yeah, really neat there, and again, just these sort of personal connections in a way that I never had that happen with two articles. Every once in a while, I'll find an article about a haunted place in Michigan, here and there, and sometimes I'll find a couple, but this is the first time I've had this happen with UFOs, whatever they may be. Again, I'm not saying that, you know, whatever these things were, happened to be aliens or whatever. I'm not saying what they were. I don't know. But it was really neat to have these two pop up on the same day. And on the day of the new... Well, I mean, they were in my alerts, so they were there for a little while, but not too long. Over the last couple of days is when they showed up. So, anyway. Just wanted to share those stories. So, let me see here. So, yeah, those are the only the two UFO-related stories I have. These next three, I don't think we'll get to all of them today. But these next three are also similar. These last three articles I have set aside, and they're all about buildings. And let me see here. Just let me check on something here. So, so these are all these next three articles, and you can find all the links to all these articles, like I said, in the show notes and sources channel in my Discord server, and which I recommend you join if you want to listen to live streams. But they're all about video footage caught in stores, different kinds of stores. Two in the UK, and then one in the US. So we'll go with this first one here. This is also from today that I found, but I had two from last time that I didn't get to. So we're sort of doing things in reverse today. This article is from, let's see here, miltonkeynes.co.uk, miltonkeynes.co.uk. And the title reads, "Watch Incredible Video Footage of Ghostly Goings-On Inside Haunted Shop in Milton Keynes," or I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, "Town." So, now this shop is a 17th century shop in Newport Pagnell. But that means 1600, so that place is 300 plus years old. But it claims that, let me see here. It's claiming, it says, according to the article, the title of the most haunted building in the area, and has come up with video proof of this as well. So, the place is called Number 38 Vintage Emporium, according to this article here. so it sells a mix of vintage items, antiques, there you go, handmade goods, just all different things, collectibles, and from more than 50 traders under one roof. So, mentions that, now this is a thing, there is, if you look into the places that are antique stores, a lot of times you can find stories about paranormal activity that happens in them. I don't necessarily think every case, you know, all the time, but if you just look up antique stores that are haunted, I'm sure you'll find a bunch of them. A lot of listings. It says that there are some resident ghosts, it says, among all the objects. But the people there apparently think they are friendly. So, let's see here. It says that for years, people have reported strange things going on there, such as cards and ornaments flying off shelves for no reason, heavy goods being moved, and strange sounds coming from the upstairs sales floor of the shop. One person, let me see here. So there was a spokesman from the store that said that one morning they went to open the place, and there was a really strange atmosphere. They say it was almost electric. So basically it sounds like they're reporting a lot of extra energy going on there. And so they apparently from there went to check on the CCTV footage to see if anything had happened while they weren't there. And says there have been many things happening before as well. So, and they wondered if they had intruders. But apparently the video shows there had, let's see here. There was a collectible Hulk Hogan figure upstairs. Says it was quite heavy and stable enough not to fall on its own. And the TV figure shows the, or TV, CCTV shows the figure being thrown over. Let me see here. As well as other objects basically being thrown around it as well. And you can see, apparently, on the footage, a small shadowy figure on the screen. So, let's see here. And they mentioned in the footage there's a mannequin on the left side of the screen, so they mentioned not to mistake that for anything paranormal. But, so neat article here, and you know, I wonder with, and I came up with this idea tonight when I was looking at a couple of the other articles. When you have objects, maybe not with the heavy objects, but when you have objects, especially smaller ones, on shelves being thrown off or pushed off and they go flying, I wonder if it has something to do with this, with, if you think about it, what do cats like to do with objects on shelves or with any object that's near the edge of something? Now, of course, in some cases, if there's an edge that's tilted or slanted, or if there are different circumstances where it may not be supernatural or paranormal if something goes falls off of a shelf, but just taking the paranormal example here, or idea here, when it comes to smaller objects, why can't they be pushed off in some cases by cats? What if there's, that's part of sort of the whole poltergeist thing that happens around the world. It makes me wonder if there's, if there aren't cats involved somehow. But anyway, it says that fragile ornaments have been seen jumping off of shelves, landing on the floor, but not breaking. That's kind of odd. Heavy items have moved on their own, and customers have reported feeling, people reported being, feeling that they were pulled back by a mystery force. I wonder if they mean physically? I don't know. But, there's more to the article, but, I'll let you all check out the rest of that on your own, because we are just about out of time. But it's just a thought I had tonight as I was looking at that article and noticing I had three articles on this topic of haunted stores. So, makes me wonder. Sometimes when you have stores like that, I mean, especially if they're old houses, I've heard that before for some stores, some antique stores. But even without that, I just wonder in some cases when objects sort of fly off or fall off a shelf, if that can't be what's causing it, is a cat, a ghost of a cat somehow. Anyway, that's all I have for today. Thank you all for listening, and I will talk to you all on the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care.